Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Really glad you're here today and joining me in the studio, Dr. Alice Benton and Chris Williams. Here we are. Hi, guys.
Gentlemen,
how are you?
Hello.
Yes, good to see you guys.
We missed your edgy wit while you were gone, Steve.
Edgy wit. I've never been described that way, so thank you. I'll try to continue with the edge and the wit. Well, let's talk about something important. If you want to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to talk with you. But let's talk about, this is the time of year when I think pretty much most people realize that if I haven't done anything differently, nothing's going to change. And we always think that, well, with a new year, everything's going to be different, and it isn't, unless we become motivated or inspired in a different way. But let's talk about some of the things that people do that are destructive, that are habits, patterns, ruts that folks get in. I'll throw out the first one, is that we become judgmental of other people. And every time I'm thinking about other people and putting them down, it's because I have some need to elevate myself, or I'm just, you know, a bitter, angry person, and I don't see the good in others. I always see the negative, and that just doesn't go away. You just can't decide I'm going to be in a better mood or have a better attitude. What are some other habits or patterns, ruts, that people get stuck in?
I think a really common one that people get stuck in, especially in today's world with social media, is comparison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's three myths to comparison, right? Here's why comparison doesn't work. It either gives me a false sense of superiority, mm-hmm. look at how well I'm doing, or I'll give you my Instagram life. Someone the other day saw an Instagram thing and said, Chris, I want your life. And I'm like, no, you want my Instagram life, and so do I, but that's not the one that I get. You know, it's different than that. Or a false sense of inferiority. But either way, it's relationally divisive. The other thing about comparison is we typically compare how we feel on the inside to what someone else feels on, or how someone else looks on the outside. And then the last thing I would say, typically when we're comparing in a specific time and place and scenario. You know, people say, hey, your life looks great. It's like, well, what part of my life looks great? Or what part of that other person's life looks great? Because we don't get, if you want to swap, you have to take the whole thing.
Yeah.
But either way, it doesn't help us live well in the life that we're, that's in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, to your point, as a jogger, you're out there and somebody comes sailing by or you go sailing by somebody else. Well, you don't know how far they have been running.
That's good, yep.
Or you don't know how far they have to go. And so to compare yourself with their speed is kind of foolish.
Yeah.
And so you just do your own pace. That's what you do. Mm-hmm. Don't compare. Mm-hmm. Alice, you have a thought here?
Yeah, we also forget how important eyeball-to-eyeball time is with our spouse and with our kids, and setting the distractions to the side and making sure we check on each other's heart and mind and soul, what's happening within one another. We let too much time pass between those heart checks.
That's good.
So true. Really, the only way I think you can fully download love to each other is eyeball to eyeball. And you can do stuff and all that, but not the same. 1-800-229-3000. We'll take a break. Come back with your phone calls. 1-800-229-3000. And if you haven't seen the new products, the one-year Bible for women, one-year Bible for men. Just got our copies. Misty did the women's one, and I did the man's one. Oh, my goodness. Mine is inferior to her Bible. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and let me just mention to all of you folks about Washington, D.C. November 3rd and 4th is our Lumina event with Nicole C. Mullen, Jen Wilkin, Lauren Green McAfee. It's going to be an incredible, incredible experience. If you haven't signed up, you still can. Grab a friend, come, special rates. It's where women rise. It's a brand new women's event. And speaking of women's event, many of you know that I started Women of Faith in 96, and one of our great speakers, Thelma Wells, passed this about a week ago, and really sad to hear that. And so pray for her family because she will be greatly missed. But also in Washington, D.C., coming up, we're going to have Every Man's Battle, November the 4th, and Restore is November the 11th. We're not doing those in D.C. because people have more problems there. We just like that city, and it's a great one of our great, great audiences there on WAVA. So I hope you'll come and join us for one of those. Our phone number, 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to Laura from Denver, Colorado, listening on Sirius XM, channel 131. How you doing, Laura? Oh, Laura just went away. Something just weirdly happened, and it just went off the screen. So we will not... I hope she'll call us back. I had a little electrical problem here in the studio this morning, so it could be that. But in the meantime, this weekend in Dallas, we're going to be doing Intimacy in Marriage. And we have an amazing crew of folk that are going to be speaking. I'll speak. Mylon and Kay Yurkovich, Becky Brown, and Stacy Sadler. All of these folks are going to be chipping in and being part of that event. And we've said it here before, and we will probably say it a lot more, that we don't know of anything that could do more for your marriage in the least amount of time. I mean, it's not like any other, and we hear this all the time, it's not like some other weekend that you could experience, because you don't just hear people speak and then you and your spouse go do something together or you go into some kind of discussion group. I mean, we have licensed clinical Christian counselors right there, and so you hear something and then you go work on it. And it's not fun to do the work, but the payoff oftentimes is that a marriage that was doomed is now a marriage that is saved and in really good shape. So that's this weekend. You could still get there. I'll be there Friday. That's when it starts, and it ends on Sunday. And I hope and pray if you've been looking for a resource, you would choose this one. Alice, you're frequently one of the facilitators there. Why do you think the marriage weekend is so powerful?
It really is the experience that you're describing. It's learning the new information and getting to practice it right away in the safety of a group led by a licensed clinician. And because I've attended the weekend multiple times, every time I go, my marriage gets an upgrade. This will not only save marriages that are at the point of destruction, but it enhances good marriages and it upgrades even great marriages. My husband and I had a little rupture in our relationship just the other day. We just had an argument. We had a problem. And we knew exactly how to solve it because we've gotten all those tools and we've practiced them for years. So we feel so equipped that we can handle anything that comes our way with God's help and with the great things that we have learned from intimacy and marriage.
Yeah, I get an upgrade every time too. My wife is hoping that I would upgrade more, but I'm doing the best I can. Hey, Laura's back from Denver, Colorado. Let's see what she has. Hey, Laura, we're so sorry that we lost you there. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. And anybody else wanting to join us, 1-800-229-3000. How could we help you today?
Question about two grown children. Older child has lived in a college town, number one. Older child has finished college, off on a career, doing great, is very concerned and almost, I guess, borderline upset. Younger child, 22, lives at home, going to college. Older child worked when they went through college. They chose to move out, understandable. Didn't have to move out, but chose to. Mm-hmm. And maybe was not as engaged in school as could have been, but did graduate, doing great. Younger child, very engaged in school, great grades, chose not to move out, isn't working. Older child, very, I guess, overly concerned. I wouldn't say overly. They're very concerned that younger child is not working. Mm-hmm. And it's beginning to be an issue, I think. So my question is, how do I address this? I personally think it's okay. Younger child isn't working because what she's majoring in is a stretch. She's pushing herself. She's doing great. But her study is basically her work. So my question what's the best way?
Well, Laura, it's not fair, is it? It's not fair that the older child that moved out had to work and the younger child that stayed and is now in a degree that's really tough. It's not fair for her not to have to work. And as you've heard on our program before, fair is where pigs win ribbons. It's not, our life is not fair if that's what we're going through life looking for. But it actually, and as I hear you describe it, it may not be fair to the older child, but it appears to be absolutely appropriate. And that's the tough thing for the older child, is that not everybody is going to go through life the way you went through life. You made choices, some good, some not. They had consequences. Some had a great upside. But every person is an individual in the eyes of God, and guess what? In the eyes of your parents, too. Let's hear from you, Chris, and then Dr. Alice.
Yeah, Laura, I think hearing from Steve, hearing from you, you tell him exactly what you told us, you know, that her work is her job right now, and that, yes, at some point in time, in the near future, she'll have to put that into use in the job force. I would be curious if there was something deeper going on, right? Because as Steve said, yeah, you know, it's not fair, and here's my protest, and here's why it's not fair. Well, yeah, well, welcome to planet Earth, you know, and we all run those different races. We do life at different paces as well. So, but I'm wondering if, is your older son, daughter?
Son.
Son. I would ask him, I'm like, is there something deeper going on in the relationship? Because, you know, I think he's like, what is his problem or what is his issue or protest? Because is it simply that she's not working? Because, again, that's even arbitrary. Because, like, actually, she is working. The difference is you're making money, you didn't. And, like, what is it about what's going on with you that feels so hard? That's underneath the protest.
Because, you would say, there would be many brother-sister relationships like this.
Yeah.
And the older brother would see what's going on and be so happy for the younger child that they don't have to work.
Yes.
That there is a way for them to not work and focus on this really tough stretch of a degree that she's getting. But that isn't his response. And Chris is right. There really is something else going on with him that would cause him to have that kind of focus that isn't very compassionate, loving, or kind. Dr. Alice, what are your thoughts here?
Laura, was there a historical pattern of the son feeling like the daughter was favored?
I do not think so. They have always been very close. I've never detected that, and we're all very close. I've never ever detected that. What I hear is he's concerned she will not have the work ethic, which we come from a long line of you work for a living. And I wonder if I've, you know, beat that too hard. But, and I don't know if you can, but anyway, that seems to be his main concern, is she's not going to end up with the same drive and work ethic.
You know what? She may not. She may. Inspiration to change the world may be more important to her than a work ethic that's handed down generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
But both of them cause you to show up when it's time to go to work. Go ahead, Alice. What else?
To whom does your son express his concern? And what's the best way he does so and the worst way he does so?
He's expressed it to me, and he's expressed it to his sister, my daughter. I don't know other than that. And it's, I guess, just in conversation and text. And it seems to come from a place of genuine heartfelt concern.
And
I don't know if that answers your question.
Is there anything unhealthy about the way he brings it up, and is he doing it too often and he won't let it go?
I wouldn't say too often. She has said, okay, then I'm going to get a job. But at the end of the day, I believe it to be true, so very true with her. I believe it, if she does, her grades will tank. Mm-hmm. Her grades are, you know, honor roll, scholarships, all that good stuff. And she works for every, I mean, she has to study a lot for her grades. So it comes up when he's aware that she's decided she just can't do both. It seems to really deeply concern him.
Well, are you married, and what's your husband's situation with you?
Not married, divorced for several years.
Okay. So why is it so difficult to just say to him, hey, I hear what you're saying. You're worried about her work ethic. But look at her grades in this very difficult thing. That takes work. She is not a slacker. And quite frankly, if she has to get a job as her mother, I believe that her grades are going to tank. And I think her grades and putting the work there, why is that so difficult to say to the brother, her brother?
Well, I have.
Okay.
I have. And the reason I'm calling is because I have a couple of times. And mm-hmm. he continues to be extremely focused on her doing well, and having the work ethic, and her being able to excel.
So Laura, on the backside of that, he's carrying a lot of fear about her. It could be simply that, you know, I don't know how involved your ex-husband is in the lives of your children, but he may be taking on that fatherly role, and then carry this fear. Right, this fear about her, that she's not going to make it, that she's not going to do well, and he feels some sort of sense of responsibility for that. But unfortunately, his fear is turning into control, which it typically does. But instead of letting the fear go into a more trusting place, because his fear is projecting something on her and projecting something on her future that doesn't represent reality right now.
And mm-hmm. and my big fear or concern is that your daughter would say, okay, I'll get a job, meaning she is going to be influenced by a male, even though it's really not in her best interest to have a job. She needs to be studying. And so I would be talking with her about that. Look, he doesn't agree, but you don't have to agree with him. You have a presence. You have a person here that is worthy to be respected. And if you decide this is how you're going to live your life, you don't want to all of a sudden alter that because a male, even a male that you care about, says you ought to do something different. I'd be concerned about that. I don't want her to be unduly influenced by a male that might not be acting in her best interest. Well, we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll finish up this call. 1-800-229-3000. Life is tough, and it's hard enough just for me to deal with me, much less to take on all the burdens, brothers, sisters, things like that. We need to stay on our side of the street.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and we're talking with Laura. Laura, just really still over the break, we're trying to figure out, you know, one of us said, how does he have the time to worry about these things? And then the other, just is there something else that's really playing into this? And that would be great if you could ask him, and maybe he would think about that a bit, what is really going on inside of him. But I really want him to be the encouraging brother, you know, the encouraging older brother versus the critical, demanding, I don't think you're going to be able to make it on your own older brother.
I would also investigate, what is his worst case fear that he has that's playing this tape out in his head, and it's keeping this worry on the forefront of his mind? And does he think he'll have to be responsible for her? What is he so worried will eventually happen if she doesn't have a strong enough work ethic? And then I'd ask you to have a conversation with your daughter, weighing out, what does God want from you at this time in your life? What do you want for you? And then who are the wise people in your life, it may include your brother, who are speaking in? And perhaps what your brother is sharing, maybe there's some truth to that. Maybe it would be good to try out a part-time job. Maybe she even needs to be overwhelmed by a job and school and struggle with that and figure out, how does she make her own way then when there's too much happening? But make sure she knows she has all these options, and it's okay to disappoint her brother. It's okay for him to have this fear and for her not to fix it for him by getting a job.
And are you saying maybe she should make her own life miserable to see if she can get through it, or what?
Well, I think sometimes we have to. If a mother is saying you shouldn't get a job, focus on school, but a brother is saying you should get a job, it's a mistake not to. Sometimes we have to make the mistake to learn what really is best for us in our lives, because sometimes we don't listen to the advice of our parents. So we got to allow our children to make their choices, which are sometimes mistakes. And the mistakes can often teach them more than the parental words teach them.
Well, here's what I would say to him. Okay. I don't know what his name is. We'll say Bucky. Okay, Bucky. She has heard your concern, and I've heard your concern. There's nothing else you need to do to better express your concern about work ethic and her maybe needing to get a job. So I'm going to invite you to interact with her on a totally different way, issue, problem, situation, opportunity, and let's let this go. It's all been dealt with, expressed. Now you go be the encouraging big brother that she needs, because she's got a really tough major that she's dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to send you Jim Burns' book, Doing Life with Our Adult Children, and then I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I think both of those could really be helpful. And Chris, did you have a final comment you wanted to make before we move on to Charisse here?
No, not at all. But other than the fact that, hey, when you see control, go find the fear.
Okay, very good. All right, I'm glad you called. Anybody else? 1-800-229-3000. And I'm going to go to Charisse from Atlanta, Georgia. Flew there Christmas 1990 to pick up my sweet daughter Madeline, who had been born on Christmas Eve.
Wow.
That's a good one.
Had breakfast with Billy Joel. I mean, we weren't at the same table, but we were in the same restaurant. Charisse, how you doing, and how can we help you?
I am well. I appreciate you taking my call, and first of all, I'm a longtime listener, so I'm grateful for your wise counsel and godly counsel. Okay, so here's my concern. About 30 years ago, I questioned my mom about
if I was adopted. She told me, no, I carried you 9 months. But what she didn't tell me was that I have a different father than the two siblings who are older than me. And I didn't know that till about 16 years ago. Well, I'm 56. So my question is, you know, my issue is that when she told me, she didn't validate my feelings. She didn't answer my questions. She's basically avoiding it. And basically her issue is, well, I've been wanting to tell you a long time. God has forgiven me. Let's move on. Well, fast forward. Family member gives me a DNA kit, and I find out I have family from my father's side. Now I have a couple of brothers, nieces, and nephews who I am in relationship with. My biggest issue is, one, I'm trying to honor my mom, who has not disclosed any of this to my older sister and brother, who believes that we have the same father. And I don't think it's basically anything she's going to disclose, because I maybe a shame issue, or maybe it's a image issue, image conscious. But how do I move forward? Because she doesn't even want to talk about it. She doesn't want me to mention it. She basically brushes me off, and it hurts.
Yeah.
But also, how do I tell, or if I should tell, my older sister and brother the truth? Because they do not know.
So we got a couple of issues, or maybe even three here. But when we come back, first thing I want to deal with is you and how you feel about this, and how we could help you in your feelings about this. There was a thing in my family I didn't know about till I was 18, and it was shocking. I can only imagine what it'd be like to go until you're 40 and discover, well, who I thought was my biological father isn't. So we'll help you with that. And then also, how do you honor a mother who wants you to not tell stuff that you think everybody ought to know in a family? We'll deal with that too. You're listening to New Life Live. Glad you are. By the way, if you are a Club New Life member, if you give us $10 extra a month, we'll send you the one-year Bible for women or men. Or if you join, same thing.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zippered Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Cherie. And so, Alice, Chris, let's talk a little bit with her about the way this impacted her. Let's deal with that first. And Cherie, are you still hurting over that? It seems like that you are, that you're not.
I am.
Through it or over it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, what do you think, Chris, that she could do?
I mean, listen, our origin stories matter tremendously. I think actually one of the great ailments of the Western world, you know, the American world, is that we, and this is why the ancestor and DNA tests are so popular. I mean, they're a huge business. Because inside all of us, inside our DNA, is an origin story that informs us about who we are and where we come from, and it grounds us in something. So when we don't have that, when that's not accessible to us, and I see this all the time with people working through adoption issues, is that there is a sense of emptiness or a sense of question marks about who we are, an ambiguity that creates an insecurity that plays itself out in life. So Cherise, you are deserving and worthy of knowing to who you come from and where you come from. And so
okay.
That is really, because it's you. And I think you hit the nail on the head and said, well, maybe it's a shame mm-hmm. issue. Mm-hmm. I think it is a shame issue.
Yeah.
Sure.
And your,
makes sense.
And your job is not to take care of your mom's shame over this issue. Your job is to not adopt her shame on the issue. And the way you do that is that you embrace and confront and work through the truth. The truth applied with grace is the number one way in which God has shown us to shatter shame. And so I think that I would approach mom and acknowledge how much difficulty and trouble that this part of her life has been for her, but that you're ready and you're okay confronting the truth about it, which includes letting your siblings know. And I would give her first right of refusal. Like, hey, if you want to tell them first, totally that's up to you. But we're not going to be afraid of this.
Yeah, I like that.
And I think that's...
Go ahead. Yeah. You think what?
No. And that's my concern. I want her to be released from the shame.
Yeah.
My mom
yeah.
is a lady. You know, mm-hmm. she's prim and proper and
yep.
everything's in place. And I feel the shame, and I think that's my burden, because I don't want to expose her without giving her an opportunity to share, but she's not.
Yeah.
Part of the issue, too, is it runs in my family. So my grandmother went to her grave with a lie, even though everyone else knew the truth. So
yeah.
it's generational.
Yeah.
Well, so you say that to your mom. You say that. I don't want this to happen. And so if you don't want to tell them, I'm going to tell them, because I don't want you going to your grave without everybody in the family knowing all there is to know about our family.
And she's kind of giving me permission to tell my story.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, so it's my story, yeah. And,
yes.
and it's difficult because I want her to enjoy my newfound family, which, by the way, the year I asked her, which was 30 years ago, about my dad, he had died by the time
mm-hmm.
yeah. I had asked the question, mm-hmm. so I never got to even know him.
Yeah,
but I'm grateful
sad.
For your response. Yeah, I've been praying about wise counsel, and I'm glad I called you all. So I have some answers, and it's pretty confirming, but I just think I don't want to. You know, I want to honor her, you know,
yeah.
but I also came to the conclusion that I might not get a response from her that I want, and I have
right.
to learn to be okay with that and love
honor,
her.
Yeah, honoring her, honoring her would never involve being deceptive, see, because she wanted you to be deceptive. That isn't honoring her, right? That's really kind
yes.
of perpetuating the problem. You honor her by doing things that maybe she couldn't have taught you to do, and you'd be the person that she couldn't have led you to be. That's the great honor, not lying for her or covering up or deceiving for her. I'm really glad you called. I'm going to send you a copy of Dr. Jill Hubbard's book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. I think that's going to be a great, great book for you. Alice, your thoughts?
Steve, the truth is always a friend to us. It's a disruptive friend, but it's a holy disruption. And I would have you, Charisse, point that out to your mom, that you're grateful she exposed the truth with you, and that it has blessed your life to know the truth, and that you are choosing to help break this family out of the cycle of hiding things. And your mom actually was the first, because she didn't take that secret to her grave. She did reveal the truth to you. But also, pair your expectations with what you know about your mom. If, in general, she's not terribly courageous about facing things that are difficult for her, don't expect that to change. But you're modeling something better and different for her and the whole family, and that will bring in more grace to your family.
I'm really glad you called, and I hope that something we've said will maybe produce a little breakthrough there with your mom and everybody else in the family. All right, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be here for another program after this, 1-800-229-3000. Right now, Larry Sonnenberg is in the studio, and we always enjoy Larry. Well, except for that one time, we always enjoy him. Larry,
let's not talk about that one.
I'm still hurting over that one time, but that's okay.
But what do you have for us today?
Well, it's Intimacy and Marriage Weekend coming up.
Yes, it is.
So people have today and tomorrow basically to sign up and get over there. And it's going to be good. It's an amazing workshop. I want to read a testimony that we can talk a little bit about it and why people can support this. This lady wrote us, "Before coming to the weekend, I thought I forgave my husband, then realized I was still in the process. His wanting me to get over it was turning my depression over the matter into anger and bitterness. I felt supported by New Life. This weekend's been a relief to face some of our issues and share with others who have similar issues. The shame of what happened to me was met with compassion, caring, understanding, and grace. I leave here with the motivation to continue to change, to overcome my weaknesses and my part in negative behaviors, actions, words, and thoughts that are harmful to my marriage. If you're considering coming to this workshop, I'd say, we're all scared to share in the beginning." I think that's a really good word. Mm-hmm. You know, the fear factor is huge.
Yeah.
It's like picking up the phone, you know, to call a woman to make your first date. It's like, oh, weighs 200 pounds. And then you make the dial and it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, folks, it's a workshop for you. It doesn't matter how bad your marriage is in terms of where you are. If maybe some folks come because once a year they need a tune-up. Some folks come because they have divorce papers are already filed and everything in between. So this workshop's for you. And if you can support New Life, it helps us to get more people to workshops. We can do more workshops, and we can just help people get New Life out of the closet is the best kept secret. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but the aftermath of COVID, of under pressure, insecurity, and people having more time together has not gone well. And we've never had so many people that we've dealt with problems. And here's the answer. Now, you got to really convince yourself that you're the exception to the rule, that it could help everybody else but not you. And I believe it will help you if you'll come. And it's this weekend. So Monday could be a different way of living for you, or it could just be the same old thing, wishing it would get better, hoping, those kinds of things. Or you could come and let us help you. We'd love that. And then those of you that help us, the reward is there for you. You are truly part of what we do, and you deserve the credit. All of our supporters deserve the credit for all of these transformed lives.
You know, if your marriage is a real struggle, think about how much better your Thanksgiving and your Christmas can be if you come to this workshop and you get on the path of healing, knowing that you have steps to take and what to do. We've been talking to some folks who have told us, my life's different. My Thanksgiving, my Christmas will all be different because I'd probably be divorced if I hadn't run into New Life and you guys helped us. And that can happen to you too. So I just want to encourage you to think about that.
All right. 1-800 New Life to join us for Intimacy and Marriage. It's also the same number if you want to become part of some of these great things that God is allowing us to do, God is helping us to do. It's just an amazingly wonderful time for all of us.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, let's go back to our phones here. And I'm just having all sorts of problems here. I just blanked out the whole screen. Who is our caller number one there from?
We have Colorado? Cindy, also in Colorado.
Okay. Cindy, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing fine.
Great. What's going on?
I have a gay daughter who's married, and we're estranged because I don't believe that's biblical, and she and her friend assure me that they're both saved, and I just don't know how to restore a relationship with them.
Okay, so you want to have a relationship with her, right?
Right.
Does she
you
have
know,
to give
mother,
up?
I don't.
Yeah. Well, does she have to give
no.
up this other relationship? Okay. Then why are you
no.
estranged?
She told me that I told those three men, and she says, I forgive you, but I can't forgive you for telling those three men. And I don't know who the three men are, and I don't know how to overcome the situation. I think her partner is an alcoholic, and maybe she is too. I don't know.
So what did you tell?
Also.
What does she think you told three men?
About her gay relationship.
Hmm. Okay. And you don't know what that's referring to, the three men?
No, I don't. Okay. I can't get her to... Yeah, it's been 3 years almost since I talked to her.
Oh,
and
wow.
I've just been trying to pray. Because I was trying to convince them that if they went to Bible studies, that they could decide for themselves, you know, what God says.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
Well, I think your reaction to this is like many folks' reaction. You want her to do some things differently, and to that end, you make some suggestions while you're telling her what you think and believe. And I think there's about 100% chance she doesn't want to be told anything by anybody. She's chosen this. She is deep in the weeds, you could say. And what you have to do if you want a relationship with her is you have to work through and grieve all your disappointment, all the things that you wanted for her, and then if you grieve that and you have a chance of then accepting her, even though you don't accept the choices that she's made, she can still feel that she is accepted. But she'll never feel that if every time you interact with her, it's all about the relationship versus your relationship.
Well, what I told her the day I told her, I said, I'm going to say this once, and then you do with it whatever you want to do with it. And they didn't hear that. And her partner's 19 years older, was married for 25 years before that to a man, and is still very bitter toward that man and scared to death. You know, she's approaching 70,
Whoa.
And my daughter's approaching 50.
Okay, so there are lots of things like that, a lot of details, but the headline is, are you going to try to have a real, genuine relationship with her or not? Because in my experience, you know, relationships come and go, and people break up, whether heterosexual or homosexual. And I just think people like us that think there is a better way, folks that don't think there's a better way, they just don't want to hear it, and then they reject us because they think we're rejecting them when, in fact, we're rejecting some behavior. Alice, you're looking like you've got something to say here.
Cindy, can you tell me something good about your daughter's spouse?
Oh, my goodness. You asked me a hard question.
I did.
Because I've become, I'm trying really hard to love and pray for her.
And it feels almost impossible, doesn't it? Because there are these glaring red flags, alcoholism, it's a lesbian relationship, she's so much older. You have legitimate reasons to be concerned, and your concern and your opposition to your daughter's wife, it is very evident, and understandably so, but your daughter also feels it every time she had interacted with you previously. So that you don't have an answer to what is good about her spouse. It's completely understandable. But you're going to have to ask God to soften your heart towards this woman because she's a child of God. And it's going to be very difficult to find and see the good, but you got to start compiling a list of the good. You've got to come up with things, and you've got to practice and rehearse them in your mind. And it feels impossible to do, but it will generate something different if and when you get the chance to talk with your daughter. I'm just going to give you one small example. You called her spouse, you called it her friend, my daughter's friend. And I struggle with this myself when I've also interacted with people where I don't believe what they're doing is right or good, or it's not in alignment with God's word. Can I use the words that they're using? Can I call that person a spouse when I don't think that's legitimate spiritually? And you're going to have to wrestle with that yourself with God. But I have determined in individual situations that I need to call this transgender person by their new name, by their new gender. I've asked God, and my sense has been he's led me to use their vocabulary, even though I disagree with their decisions, because using their vocabulary has allowed me to retain relationship with those people, although they know my stance and they know my opposition. Check in with God about that.
It's tough. It is not easy. And I'm glad that you were calling to ask about it, because a lot of people don't want to ask about it. They just are going to be however they feel being. And, you know, my goal is maintaining relationship. It's not endorsement of their behavior, their choices. It's just endorsement. You are a person of God, you're a value, and the more grace I show them, perhaps the more in tune they can get with the grace that God has for them. And I'm really, really glad that you called. Hold on, I want to send you How We Love. It's a great book by Mylon and Kay Yurkovich. I think it'll give you great insight now into this situation. And then I'll send you Dr. Jim Burns' book, Doing Life with Our Adult Children. It's really not easy, especially with this complication. So thank you for calling. Well, I've just got a little bit of time left. We have Restore in D.C. on November the 11th for any woman who's been hurt by a man who had a sexual integrity problem. And then on the 4th, just the week before that, we're going to do Every Man's Battle in Washington, D.C. But right now, Intimacy in Marriage is this Friday in Dallas, Texas. Thank you, Alice and Chris, and all of you who listen, watch, and pray. We love you. We appreciate you. Have a great rest of the day.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. Make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.